just conclude with a few verses from 2 Peter chapter 3, please. 2 Peter chapter 3, reading from verse number 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. In this last chapter of Peter's second epistle, he's been dealing with the scoffers, the things they have to say, the things that they deny, their mockery of God's things. And they have to be told that they are willingly ignorant. They've missed out on just seeing what God has done in the past. The creation God brought about, the flood that came in on the world that then was. And in the end they're told, you know, the reason you don't understand is God has a different timetable for a man. With God, 1,000 years and a day, what's the difference with God? Not bound by time. And so he's setting aside all the scoffing of the ignorant people who have said these things. But then he says, but that day of the Lord will come. And in the light of that, he now has three exhortations I want to leave you with. And they all have, in our English version here, they all have the little word seeing there. In verse 11, seeing that all these things shall be dissolved. In verse 14, seeing that you look for such things. And in verse number 17, beloved, seeing you know these things. What we know, what we understand, has a tremendous effect on how we live, or it should. And that's what he's saying here. Verse 11, it's to do with the passing away of the elements. And he says, seeing that is going to happen, you should be holy. Interesting observation. In the second one, he's talking about not the passing away of the elements, but the permanence of our hope, the new heavens, the new earth. And we're looking for that. He says, because of that, be diligent. And in the third one, seeing we know these things, the present responsibility, seeing we've had all that set out to us. We could say that today. With regard to the ministry that we have heard, seeing we have heard these things, what are we going to be like? Here it says, seeing we know these things, beware. So, be holy, be diligent, and beware. In regard to the first one, all these things shall be dissolved. Isn't that something to think about when we get a little bit earthbound? All these things shall be dissolved. It's all going to come to nothing. If man has made it, then it will be destroyed. That's tremendous to think about that. All these things shall be dissolved. So what does that do to us? Well, of course, it takes our heart away from the things, doesn't it? Helps us to have more desire for the things that can't be dissolved. There are things that are temporal. If they're seen, they're temporal. If they're not seen, they're eternal. we're told. So if you can see it, it will one day be dissolved. That doesn't mean you don't value it now and care for it and all of that kind of thing, but you don't set your heart upon it. That was the problem. So he says, seeing that's going to happen, what manner of persons ought you to be? There's that lovely expression, what manner of? In other words, that little expression has to do with what kind of person. It even has the effect of what country do people like this come from? What manner of persons? Where do these kind of people originate? It's the same as you get in the 1 John. What manner of love? What kind of love is that that God has for us? Well, what manner of persons ought we to be? Given that everything will be dissolved, what kind of persons ought we to be in all holy behaviour and godliness? Godliness? Yes, you see, there's something, there's someone, but in the attitude there is something that we can take to ourselves, we can apply it in our lives and rest on it, and it'll never be dissolved. Godliness, it has benefit, as Paul says to Timothy, for this life and for the life that is to come. So let's go in for the things that have some sort of lasting benefit. The life that now is, and the life that is to come. So he says, on the understanding that you know that all these things are going to dissolve, it will affect the kind of person you are in both your behaviour and your godliness. Because you will look at those things as being lasting things. And then he lifts their gaze up and says, now that you've got your manner of life sorted out, you're looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Doesn't he give a long view there? The day of God, all the way down till the day of the Lord is completed and everything has been brought into order and everything that is to be dissolved is dissolved, and we enter into that day of God right at the end of all God's great works. And that's not just a few weeks away, you know, that's got a lot of things to happen in between, isn't it? The day of God. He says here, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. Well, all that has to happen so the day of God can be introduced, really. It's the day of God on the basis of which, the introduction of which, all these things must be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. So, we've got a long look here. Yes, we're looking for the coming of the Lord. We're looking for the appearing of the Lord Jesus in glory. But it goes right beyond that. We're looking for the day of God. Everything in its place and in order. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And suddenly we're transported into a different scene altogether. The scene we're in now has evil. It has all of those things associated with it that make us change our kind of behaviour and lift our priorities and look for things that are of lasting value, things that can't be seen but have eternal effect. They're the things to go in for. And he says, when you arrive at this place that your heart is longing for, the characteristic of it will be righteousness dwells there. Righteousness, isn't that something to think about that? I often think of this, you know, when people talk about someone who has died and they're up there, you know, they haven't got a clue whether God is there or not, but they talk about them as if they're all right, they're up there looking down on us, a place wherein dwelleth righteousness. Not everybody just floats up into heaven. It's not like that. Righteousness is going to be there. That is heaven now. This is in a future day, but that's what it's going to be, a place where righteousness is. We can only be there if we are righteous by the grace of God and by the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, that's what we're looking for. Now he says in verse 14, come to the second one, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things. So we've been looking at the earth and saying it's all going to be dissolved. I'm going to live a different life now. Now he says, you're looking for these future things. Well, seeing you look for such things, be diligent. That's an interesting statement. Why? Well, that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So what he's saying is, you know, if you have that in view, if that's your object, you know, what we are aiming for has a tremendous effect on how we live. You get an object before you. Ever had an ambition? Ever gone in for some career? Ever put something out as the spot to which you're aiming? It affects everything you do. You just keep on moving. Well, he says, seeing you're looking for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, what's that going to do? Well, be diligent that no matter when it might be, the Lord can find us in peace, without spot and blameless. Tremendous thing to think that because we're heading in that direction, that's the kind of people we ought to be. Well, we know we can never get perfection, of course, but this is the aim that should be ours, seeing that we have our eye on those things. You know, Paul was striving, he was reaching out towards the mark, he was running the race, he always had an object in view, and that kept him on course. Well, here it is. Seeing you look for such things, be diligent, that is, make it a matter of real diligence to bring about this kind of character in your life, in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. He's going back to the early bit of the chapter where someone said, the Lord hasn't come, he hasn't done this, he hasn't done that, he's not going to do anything ever. And he points out, look, long-suffering is what it's all about. Now, as you're looking for the new heavens and new earth, don't be put off by people who want to say either it's never going to happen or it's going to happen tomorrow. Don't be put off by all those things, because we account the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. And that's why that time. But keep your eye on the goal. Don't get your eye off the goal. And so he talks a bit about Paul, who has said these same things, supporting that same thought. But now verse 17, to bring this to its conclusion. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, this is prior knowledge, seeing I've told you all, I tell you, it makes you terribly responsible when the Lord has put some things into your heart and mind. And we're all more responsible for having heard the scriptures today, seeing ye know these things ahead of time, he says here. Seeing I've warned you and told you of the plan of God, the timetable of God, and how it's all going to happen, beware. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. That's something to keep in mind. You know what these last two verses are? They're a backwards summary of this letter. Seeing ye know these things before, that's chapter 3. Beware lest ye, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, that's chapter 2. All the false teachers. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, that's chapter 1. That's the chapter that talks about growth. That's the chapter that tells us what to add. That says that if we have these things, we will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus. Goes back through everything he said and brings it to its conclusion. So what are we to do with this knowledge? We're to beware. Beware of false teaching. Beware of those things that would lead us astray. Beware of attitudes that would come in and destroy ourselves or the company. Beware. There are things afoot of which we must beware. That is always true. It was true here and it's true today. There are things that could spoil, the things that could destroy. And so he says, seeing ye have a preview of all the great plan of God, you beware that no one turn you aside, stumble you, make you fall from your own steadfastness. May the Lord preserve us. We do need preserving. We need his hand in all of our lives. We can easily slip off the track, turn aside, and all those things that expressions. Let's beware. Let's be holy. Let's be diligent, but let's beware, because all God's plan will yet be worked out, and it'll be all to his honour and his glory.